Thank you, Chris. I think probably everyone here knows Lester and Peggy Seiler, and that they've returned to us in the States last year after 40, how many years in Zimbabwe? 48 in Zimbabwe. And that I've been blessed. Seems like every time I spend any time with Lester, the Lord uses him to show me something in Scripture that I had not seen before. Not that I'm, you know, any exceptional Bible scholar, but that's a blessing. And so I expect that he's going to do the same thing for all of us this morning. Lester, would you come and present us with the word this morning?
All right, thanks, Gary. Good to be back with you again, and I was asked this morning, what's the title of your message? And I said, well, do what God tells you to do, regardless of the consequences. And he says, that's too long. I said, okay, how about let God heal your bruises? He said, no, that sounds good. All right, so you can take whatever title you want to this morning, because both of them are applicable. All right. So I'd ask you to follow along on the screen. Peggy's going to read for us. Okay? It's from John chapter 5.
There we go. Okay. It so should be just the left and right. That should
okay.
Be, there we go.
There we go. Thank you. Okay.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, "Will you be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath.
Now there is how a modern man would react being sick for 38 years and he's finally miraculously healed. Okay. Rejoicing like that.
And the Jews therefore said to him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same one said, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "What man is that which said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" And the man that was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had moved himself away, a large crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you." Then the man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus that made him whole. And therefore the Jews began to persecute Jesus and were determined to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day.
Okay. Thank you, Peggy. Now, Jesus was in Jerusalem for one of the feasts. It was probably the Passover. And as he was walking past the Pool of Bethesda, verse 3 tells us that there were people around this pool that were blind and crippled and paralyzed, and every disease under the sun they were suffering from, of every description. And everyone was hoping against hope that on occasion the angel of the Lord came down, troubled up the water. The water started bubbling. And the first one then into the pool was instantaneously, miraculously healed. But can you just imagine and picture for a moment what it must have been, the most depressing place on the face of the earth? I mean, being in an environment like this, where there's moaning and groaning and complaining and suffering, and what a depressing atmosphere to spend day in and day out with a helpless and hopeless condition. And I could just imagine that the people would be as crowded, as close to the edge of the pool as they could get, so that whenever they see the water bubbling up, just kind of flop in, you know, and but still hoping against hope. And it was into this situation, into this setting, that Jesus walked in to this man's life. Now, the man that he ministered to had been sick for 38 years. How many years he had been actually by the pool, we're not told. However, he obviously had been there long enough to have seen the water bubbling up and trying to get there, but someone less sick beat him to the pool and was healed. So he goes back to his place and just sit, hopeless, helpless. And that was his lot in life. Just one of a multitude. Now, Jesus walked into this man's life, walked into his situation, and asked him what seemed to be a silly question. Do you want to become well? Now, is that a stupid question? I have met a lot of people who are actually a whole lot more sick than this guy. I mean, their lifestyle depicts the sin sickness that they're involved in and the rebellion against God that they're involved in. And their attitude is, hey, what's your problem? Me, repent? What for? Life is a blast. Well, do you want to become well? But out of the whole of the multitude, the whole of this multitude, Jesus chose this one guy. Why this one guy? I mean, out of the whole multitude, why him? Now, we know that Jesus only did the will of the Father. John 4:34 says, my meat, my nourishment is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's what satisfies me. That's what I'm here on earth for, to fulfill the will of the Father. And that's all I do. He said also, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he, the Father, does, that's what the Son does likewise. So that's what I want to do, and only that. So it says, Jesus walked into this setting. He only did the will of the Father. He didn't just walk in and say, oh my, I feel like healing somebody today. Shame. Look at that poor, helpless lot. They're suffering and moaning and groaning. Who should I heal? Let's see now. Eeny, meeny, miny. It didn't work like that. Notice the scripture in verse 6. It says that when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saw him. He was in tune with the Father, and his eyes fell on this man because the Lord was speaking to him, this man, and he knew in his heart. So he walked up to this man and ministered to him, to take up your bed and walk. Now, I don't know how the guy reacted to whether it was, well, what do I got to lose? I try to get up and wow. Or maybe faith rose. We don't know. But he got up and he was healed, miraculously healed. And Jesus kind of slipped off in the crowd. And this man, he was so excited and he was skipping down the road and he was rejoicing and he had his mat over his shoulder. And he was just really rejoicing that, man, I'm no longer sick. I'm no longer this helpless, hopeless lot of moaning and groaning people that I've been with all this for so long. And he's just so excited. And someone shouts at him, hey, you.
Me?
Why are you carrying your mat on the Sabbath day? Don't you know that's work?
Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, I was been by the pool of Bethesda for all this time, and there they just kind of roll one into an, is it the Sabbath day? Sorry, I got my days mixed up. He said, yes, it's the Sabbath day, and it's against the law for you to carry your mat on the Sabbath day. Yeah, but the guy who healed me said I should take up, what? Someone healed you on the Sabbath day? Don't you realize that's work? And he told you to carry your mat? And break the law? Who is this lawbreaker? I don't know who he is. All I know is that I was sick for 38 years and I was by the pool of Bethesda and this guy walked up to me and he healed me. That's all I know. I don't know who he was. Now, okay, he didn't know who Jesus was. But one thing that he did know was that whoever he was, that the Jews were out to get him. They didn't like him because he worked. God bless you. On the Sabbath day, and not only did he work on the Sabbath day, but he encouraged other people to break the law and to work on the Sabbath day. So, then lo and behold, Jesus walked up to this man in the temple. The Bible says, afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you. Now, how would you have responded if you had been sick for 38 miserable years with a totally hopeless situation and someone walked up to you out of the whole of the multitude and chose you and you're instantly healed? And now you didn't know who he was, but now he walks up to you. How would you have responded? Well, I don't know about you. I think I would have gone running up to him, give him a big hug and say, look, I'm healed. I'm healed. I never felt better in my life. That's a mess. Please, please. I know that you have my best interest at heart. That's quite obvious. And please speak into my life. Anything. Can I be one of your disciples? You see? Now, brothers and sisters, that's exactly how it's been for each and every one of us, except that we're in a worse condition. Like I said, not just sin sick, but the Bible says that we were dead in trespasses and sin. Not just sick, but dead. And if we have committed our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given us eternal life, he has proven to you and to me that he has our best interest at heart. He has a right to speak into our lives. And our grateful hearts should be responding with, yes, Lord, whatever you say. Speak to me. Change me. And Lord, whatever you say, I'm willing to do it. Yes, I want to be one of your disciples. And that includes challenging us about sin, just like Jesus did with this Bethesda guy. Now, you see, Jesus has a goal for each and every one of our lives. And that is to clean us up from the inside out. Romans chapter 8:29 says that his goal is to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his goal for us. For you and me, I mean, what an incredible goal that he has. But in order for that to happen, he has to speak to us about sin and to put his finger on areas of our life that he's not happy with, so that then we respond, yes, Lord, thank you for pointing that out to me. Please, Lord, I want to cooperate with you, and we need to get victory over this area. So when he challenges us about sin, we need to accept the challenge and cooperate with the Lord. But this guy didn't respond like that. Notice verse 15. Then the man departed and told the Jews, it was Jesus. Jesus is the one who made me whole. He's the guy you're looking for. So Jesus spoke into this guy's life, challenged him about sin, and the man took exception to what Jesus was saying to him. And he took the, who in the world does this guy think that he is to talk to me about sin? That's how he responded. Now, in Peggy's my many, many years of ministry, we've seen God answer some incredible prayers and ministering to people and sharing with them about the word of God. I mean, and we've seen God come through and concerning businesses that were failing, and they come, people's finances, even lives saved, and bodies healed, and so forth and so forth. But then you talk to them about cleaning up their lives and really following the Lord in spirit and truth, and committing their life totally to Jesus Christ as Lord, and say, look, please, I'll take the blessings, but don't talk to me about this. And yes, you can bless me, Pastor. You can pray for me, but please don't make me uncomfortable about the word of God. In fact, right before we left Zimbabwe, there was a man who said to us, look, pray for me, but don't challenge me. Yeah. Now, this Pool of Bethesda guy is an example of that. He ran straight to the Pharisees, and he squealed on him because as far as he was concerned, Jesus crossed the line. I found out who it was that healed me on the Sabbath day. It was Jesus. He's the one who told me to carry my mat on the Sabbath day. The man you want is Jesus. And the result? Verse 16. And therefore the Jews began to persecute Jesus and were determined to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, I believe that we can all kind of relate to this story in one way or another. And as we do so, our emotions really, they can come alive. Because you remember how that it happened to you. You bend over backwards to help somebody, and then they stab you in the back for it. And they show their appreciation by kicking you in the teeth. Huh? You been there? All right, so we're on the same page. Now, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. So I'm sure that Jesus was tempted to respond this way, but I know for sure that he didn't respond this way. But the way that I have responded when I've been in situations similar to this. And that is to take the attitude out of that whole multitude. I walked up to you and I healed you. And I could have healed somebody else, but I healed you. And this is how you say thank you, by betraying me to my enemies. I wish now that I would have chosen someone else and left you by the pool to rot. See? But see, the difference between Jesus and us is that he kept his heart pure. And we struggle in that area. Now, have you felt that way? Now, and But also be encouraged. Jesus knows exactly how we feel. Not only with the Pool of Bethesda guy, but the Bible says in Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And what did they do? They crucified him. They crucified him. So the important thing is that we keep our heart pure through the whole ordeal, like Jesus did. Therefore, we can hear the voice of the Lord and we can be obedient to what the Lord is telling us to do. See, something else here. Jesus knew that it was the will of the Father to heal this one man. He knew what was going to happen. See, but he didn't worry about the consequences. The consequences were between, up to the Lord. My job, my work, he said, is to be obedient and leave the consequences with the Lord. And that's our work as well, to be obedient to what the Lord tells us to do and leave the results with the Lord, even if it means that we suffer for doing what is right. Now, on several occasions, I've really prayed about a matter, and I felt that I received very, very clear directions from the Lord. But then when I did what I felt like the Lord was leading me to do, the whole situation turned sour. I think, Lord, did I hear you properly? And if I heard you properly, then why did the situation turn sour? Did I miss you, God? Or maybe I got my timing wrong, Lord. See, but not necessarily. You see, Jesus didn't miss God. He didn't get his timing wrong. He didn't hear God wrongly. And the situation turned sour for him. So the important thing is, do what God tells us to do. But another thing that inevitably happens in an incident like this is, well, you know the old saying, once bitten, twice shy. I'm sure that's in here somewhere. You see? No, that's not in here. But what is in here is Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Notice here. And to set at liberty those who are bruised. The Amplified says to deliver those who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken down by calamity. See, Jesus is in the business of setting us free from our bruises. When we're bruised, what do we try to do? We try to protect them. And by protecting our bruises, what we're doing, we keep people at arm's length because we don't want it to happen again. And not only do we keep people at arm's length, but the problem is we keep God at arm's length because we don't want him to send people to us that possibly hurt us again. See, don't get too close to this area in my life. I'm still hurting from 3 years ago. You should be healed. I had a brother who had, as a teenager, he had a lot of problems with an ingrown toenail. Yeah. And I would watch him in a crowd. And in that crowd, if people were getting close, he'd even stand with one, his sore toe behind the other one. And if someone got too close to him, he would even strike out and push him. What's wrong with you, man? Hey, don't get too close to my ingrown toenail. See? Because he's hurting. So he keeps people at arm's length. Don't get too close to this sore area of my life. I want to tell you briefly a story from John chapter 9. John chapter 9, Jesus is walking with his disciples, and they see a man that was born blind. And they asked him, Master, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his sin, or was it because of his parents' sin? And we know the story. Jesus called the guy over, spit in the dust, made some mud, caked it on the guy's eyes, says, okay, I want you to go to the pool of Siloam, and I want you to wash. God, okay, what I got to lose? Found someone to lead him, took him to the pool of Siloam, took some water, washed his eyes. I see water. Is this what water looks like? Wow, and that reflection, and is that me? I'm healed! I can see! He's so excited. He's healed. And he goes running home. And his neighbor says, hey, I didn't know that my blind neighbor had a twin brother. He says, no, I don't have a twin brother. I was your blind neighbor, and Jesus healed me. Jesus, I can see. He's so excited. And word spread like wildfire straight to the Pharisees. Now, this guy, he was called on the carpet, and he was grilled to the nth degree. Not only that, he took flack from these guys. They called in his parents and said, look, is this your blind son? Yeah. How did he get healed? I don't know. Ask him. He's of age. Okay. And they grilled him again. And anyhow, finally, they kicked him out of the synagogue. Now, Jesus heard that the man was kicked out of the synagogue. So he went to find this man that was healed. And I love this. John chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus answered and said, you have both seen him, and it is he that's talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He fell down before the Lord and he worshiped him. He says, you see him. You're looking at him. Your eyes are healed. But if this was a deeper seeing than physical, hey. He recognized Jesus for who he was and worshiped him. Now, that made it all worthwhile. You see, Jesus would have missed all of this if he had been protecting his bruises. But of course, he didn't have any bruises to protect because he forgave that Pool of Bethesda guy. And he was walking in fellowship with the Father. He kept his heart pure. But if it had been like me, I would have responded with, wait a minute, Father. Excuse me, but don't you know what today is? Verse 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. You see, please, Lord, the man was born blind. Why didn't you tell me to heal him yesterday? And what's wrong with tomorrow? Please, a guy that was born blind, what's another day? You see? Don't you remember that Pool of Bethesda guy from four chapters ago? And I'm still struggling with that. See, Jesus wasn't protecting any bruises. So therefore, he could hear the Father. He could walk in obedience. He could do what the Lord told him to do. People could be blessed. And he would be walking in total fellowship with the Father. I've responded like that. And I've missed God. But Jesus wasn't protecting any bruises. Now, I want to ask you a question. Are you hurting in areas where you really do not want anybody else to touch? Possibly you're even hurting in areas where you have said, God, don't ask me to get involved again. Because if I get involved again, I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt like I did last time. What are you doing? You're protecting your bruises. I have some good news for you. Jesus came to set at liberty those who are bruised. And he's still doing it today. The Lord wants you to be able to hear his voice. He wants you to be able to walk in obedience to him so that you can be the blessing that you can be. And we're all geared to be blessings. And that's only possible if we don't have any bruises to protect. And in order for this to happen, it is imperative. It is absolutely necessary for each and every one of us to forgive those who have bruised us. We have to forgive them. And, hey, you know, this is an incredible gift that God has given to every one of us. And that is the ability to forgive people. That is a gift he's given us. We have that ability. I can't do it. Yes, you can. Hey, if Jesus can be on that cross and Father, forgive them. And if Jesus can forgive yours and my sins, surely we're able to forgive others who bruise us. So it's absolutely necessary. Now, if we don't forgive and we're walking in unforgiveness, that unforgiveness will eat away on the inside of us and destroy us. It's like a poison. For us to hold unforgiveness, it's like drinking a poison and expecting the other person to die. That's stupid. It destroys us, not them. Another thing, too, is that forgiveness does not excuse the person's actions who bruised you. But forgiveness stops their actions from destroying our heart. So in closing, I want us to take home three viable lessons. I hope maybe even some more. But these three, okay? Obey God and accept the consequences. Even if by doing the right thing, we suffer for doing the right thing. We must obey God. Number two, let God heal our bruises. We go through life, hey, we're going to be bruised. It's inevitable. So we need to allow the Lord to heal the bruises, the pain, so that we can obey God without the fear of being bruised again. Thirdly, forgiveness lets us move on with the Lord. Walk in and apply forgiveness. Moment by moment, forgive, 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 so that we're not destroyed, but we can do what the Lord wants us to do. So this morning, we're going to pray. And we're going to forgive those who have bruised us. Maybe it was someone who abused you as a child. Maybe you're suffering from rejection. Or maybe your broken trust, verbal abuse, betrayal, whatever. The list can go on and on and on. But we need to forgive. And then ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me my bruises. Because I want to walk in obedience to you. I want to be a blessing to others. And I want to keep my heart pure. And that's what it's all about. So let's pray. Lord, I ask you to heal where I'm bruised. Lord, you know. And Lord, I choose to forgive. Go ahead and name the person or people or whatever. I choose to forgive. And thank you, Lord, for setting me free to move on and to obey you, not being hindered by the things of the past. But Lord, I allow you to speak into my life about sin. Give me of your Holy Spirit and the power to obey you and to walk in your ways. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who set us at liberty those who are bruised. Amen and amen. Anyone needs special prayer at the end of the service? Please feel free. Peg and I are here. Gary, others of the leadership, feel free. We're here for you. You have a question? Peggy, would you please take this request to the Lord?
Father God, we come to you. You see the struggle that Linda's having at this time in her life. And Father, she's hurting. Lord, she hurts because she hurts.
It has been my pleasure over the years to give the communion message, but no day like today. What a powerful message that Lester gave, and what an incredible week this has been for this body. Pastor had successful, emphasis on successful surgery for his cancer. No residual of anything appears in his body. And that in itself is miraculous. Anthony's got an injury that is unusual, but it's painful, but it looks like there's no permanent damage, which is miraculous. Others have been of service to members of the body, and they're going to be of more service today. And they're doing it without moaning and groaning and complaining, and that's miraculous. But there's pain and there's agony. And there is good news. And that is that Jesus came. He lived. He died. And by the power of the Holy Spirit that now lives and resides in us, He rose from the dead. And we get an opportunity now. Gary, if you would please start passing the elements. We have an opportunity now to do what it says in Luke chapter 22, when Jesus broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. And the thing is, he did this at the Passover, the last Passover that he had with his disciples. But I don't think he wants us to be limited to the time when we do the Passover meal. I think he wants us to do this every day. He wants us to live in victory, like Lester was talking about this morning. Jesus said the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. My question is, what has the enemy stolen from you that does not belong to you anymore, but you want it back? Today, when we take these elements, take it back, because you are renewing your relationship with the Lord. And Lester was talking about how God would heal people that he doesn't even know, that he didn't know, that didn't know him or know who he was. But you already know him. You're his brothers and sisters. You're children of the Most High God. We serve at the pleasure of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he told us in Habakkuk, he gave us Habakkuk, pray to prayer. And this is for believers. This is for us today. This is what he does. And he said, Lord, I have heard of the report about thee, and I fear. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In your wrath, remember mercy. We are asking him, because he's already done his redemptive work in us, we are asking him to revive the work that he did already, to make new again, to bring new life again for that which has been stolen since we've become his family members. Renew our hearts. Renew our minds, renew our attitudes. So as we take the bread and the cup, may this truly be a renewal of the covenant that we made with God when he came down and supernaturally started to live inside of us. May we feel that. May we experience that. May we be grateful for that. Because this is something we can't do on our own. It is only something that we can be grateful for because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross. And what that Holy Spirit did who lives in us when he raised him from the dead. And he moved the stone aside, not so that Jesus could get out, but so that we could see in. The tomb is empty, folks. It's empty. Let us walk in that victory. Let us stop being afraid. Let us walk in victory and cheer and joy. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, that belongs to us now. Not because of what we did, but because of who we belong to. Let us take this together, and together renew the lives that we walk And when we walk out of here today, may we truly spread that great news. In Jesus' name. As we ingest the body and the blood into our lives, into our bodies, into our mortal bodies, may it give us courage. Renew every fiber of our being with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. May we walk in that victory. May we experience that abundant life. May we forgive those that need forgiveness, especially ourselves. Lord, if we have done things that we think we can't be forgiven for because of the magnitude of the sin that we committed against someone else, let us know in no uncertain terms that's a lie. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ can forgive any and everything. And He washes us with His blood. And we thank You for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. My brothers and sisters, go in victory. And let's put a smile on our faces and let's tell our faces that we are truly joyful. In Jesus' name, amen. What?
Just to go with what you just said, we just learned in our Bible study within the past couple weeks, maybe not just ingest His body and His blood, but maybe digest everything that it cost Him.